Amen. Let's everybody stand now for the reading of the Word of God. And we've taken a long time tonight, so it's not that I want to be short. I'm afraid I'm going to have to be. And somebody said amen. God. Come on, fellas. Give me a break. Y'all not give Brother Hall a little break? All right. I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture tonight. It's found in Hebrews chapter number 11. If you want to turn there, Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, I don't necessarily intend to expound upon the verse, but I want to read that verse as our text verse and try to preach what God, I feel like He's laid upon my heart for this evening. I know Brother Robert will be waving here in just a minute if I don't do this, so I guess I better do this, Mr. Hall. All right. Chapter number 11 and verse number 1 in the book of Hebrews. I believe Paul wrote this book. And he writes in that verse, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You tonight for the good grace of our God and the love and the mercy that we found when we knelt at the cross. I thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon our life from day to day. Thank You for the benefits that we're loaded down with. Thank You, Lord, for the eternal blessings of God that's upon our life. Thank You for Jesus and the cross and the blood, the blessed hope that we have. I pray now, Lord, that You'd give grace and wisdom tonight in the preaching, that You'd touch me and help me, give me direction by the Spirit of God. Help me to follow You, Lord, and through the Scriptures as it would please You. Do what needs to be done in our hearts for Your glory. Help God's people tonight, I pray. Some may be having frustrations in their life, some troubles and problems and heartaches, Lord. I pray for them. That God, that You'd undergird and supply and sustain. And Lord, may You lift up the feeble knees that hang down. May You strengthen the hearts that are broken and crushed. May You bless those, Lord, that are struggling tonight. And may Your blessed name be glorified and magnified in everything that is said and done. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. All right. Brother Paul, I believe, wrote this book. And he writes there in verse number 1. Again, I want to read it. He said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." And my wife asked me, was I going to preach on the young people again tonight? And my plans were in the beginning was to do that on Wednesday nights. That's what I'm still going to hold to. I'm not going to try to preach on the young people tonight, although I think I might touch them just a lick or two while I'm passing by. Amen. But I want to preach for just a little while tonight on that little five-lettered word. That's what brought that to my mind tonight, and I'm amazed at how many other five-letter words there are in the Word of God. But I want to preach for a little while on just that word, faith, tonight, if God would help me, and I trust that He will. You know, I really believe that faith is one great commodity that God is looking for in each and every one of us, especially those of us that have been saved by the grace of God. When the Lord said in His Word that if we only had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that we could tell a sycamine tree to get up and move over and it would, or we could command a mountain to get up and move and it would do that. You know, that's just a grain of a mustard seed is not much faith at all. But the Lord nevertheless told us in His Word that we ought to have that kind of faith, that we could move that if we had a grain of mustard seed, we could move that sycamore tree. And we could move that mountain if need be. And I'm really wondering, as Luke wrote, will the Lord, nevertheless, will the Lord find faith when He comes again upon the earth? Now, we don't think in our day a great deal about faith. We've got so deep, you know, in other things that we've just about forgotten the foundation of our life. And the Bible said that there's three great virtues, faith, hope, and charity. And we know that charity is the greatest of all three of those. But I also realize that our faith, our life, is built upon the foundation of faith. That hope and charity must be built upon faith. And faith is the foundation of the Christian life. The Bible says repeatedly in the Word of God that the just shall live by faith. And faith is a wonderful thing. May I say, it ought to be a cherished thing in our life. It really ought to be. Now, I'll tell you why. Not everybody has faith. And it's the Bible said that it's worth gold. I believe that it's worth much gold, faith is. And it is because of its rarity. There's not many people today that really have faith. In fact, the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 2 that not all men have faith. I want to say tonight that if you have faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have a commodity that not many people have. Amen. And you have something in your life that ought to be treasured by you. Amen. And we ought to live by that faith. God wants us to live by that faith. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God doesn't want us to dabble around the edges of His work and His ministry. God wants us to launch out into the deep in our faith and begin to trust God for more things, for greater things than what we've ever trusted Him for today. And you know, we ought to be able to do that. I mean, we've got a Bible, we've got the Holy Ghost, we've got the house of God, we've got prayer, we've got friends we can lean upon and talk to from time to time. And we ought to be doing greater things today than we've ever done in the Christian life. But it seems like we're doing less and less. And I believe we ought to be doing more and more. And I think, hey, not every man has that kind of faith. And it ought to be cherished by you and I. It ought to motivate you and I. It ought to motivate you and I to know tonight that we have something that everybody does not have. I'd like to tell you a story that happened to me today, but I don't dare tell it on the radio. And I had people come up to me down there today and start talking to me about living by faith. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at them and I'm wondering, man, you're talking about living by faith. I don't know about that. You're not showing me any kind of faith in the way that you're living, in the way that you're dressed. You're certainly not impressing me as a child of God. You're not impressing me as a Christian. Amen. And I think the just will live by faith. And living by faith will change you. Amen. I'll tell you, old things will pass away and all things will be made new. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm going to get this out of my crawl. I've got very little confidence in Christian bikers. Amen. Amen. I just have. I know what their background is. I know what they're thinking about. I know what that associates them with. And it certainly associates them to me with guys like the power team that go into churches breaking two by sixes in half. That don't impress me a bit. I mean, any karate expert can do that. I want somebody to live by faith and see great things accomplished in the work and the ministry of Christ for His honor and glory because they've let Him lead them in a life of faith. Amen.
Right, right.
Amen. Yes. They can see things done. Now, we're not going to get much done without faith.
Right.
And I wonder how many today have got a measure of faith that they can see great things done for. Now, not all men have faith. Faith is a very important thing. I want to say without faith, it's an impossibility to please God.
Amen.
Brother Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, he said something to this effect. Let me just turn and read it. My mind ain't wanting to work for me tonight. But he said in Hebrews 11:6, I'll have to read it for you. I'll find it here in just a minute. You'll bear right with me. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. He said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now I'm wondering how many of us tonight really please God. The Bible said without faith it is impossible to please God. It didn't say we might please God. He said it is an impossibility to please God without faith. And I believe that because the Bible says so. Just think what would have happened had Noah had no faith. The ark wouldn't have been built and his family would have been destroyed. Now I want to say something to the family in here tonight. If you're living a life without faith, your family don't have much hope. If you don't have faith, you're not pleasing God. And if you're not pleasing God, God's not going to do much in our families.
Amen.
He can't do much in our families because it's impossible to please Him without faith.
Yes,
what the Bible says. Amen.
Amen.
And I wonder how pleased the Lord really is with you and I tonight.
Yes,
in the faith that we have. Then I want to say thirdly, you can't be saved without faith.
Amen.
The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God,
amen,
not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now I'm just here to tell you that nobody is going to get saved, ladies and gentlemen, apart from grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you can be baptized, that ain't going to get the job done.
Amen.
Oh, no, I don't. Hey, you can do all the work that you want to do but faith, with faith, but works, if it has not faith with it, has absolutely no meaning at all, and vice versa, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But we're not saved by our works, and we're not saved by being baptized, and we're not saved by joining the church. But we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody's ever been saved without that faith. They that come to God must believe that He is. Believe what? There's faith. Believe that He's God. And must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now I'm going to say, if we really believe that He was a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, I believe we would be more apt to spend more time seeking the face of God for the power and presence and the blessings of God upon our life, upon our family, and upon the church that we attend.
Amen.
Right, say amen right there.
Amen.
Just a few little thoughts about faith. I'm telling you, man ain't going to be saved without it.
Right.
That's absolutely a fact. A man's not going to be saved without it. Then I want to say also by way of introduction, you know there's varieties of faith. There's different kinds of faith. Somebody said, preacher, no, there's just one faith. No, there are different kinds of faith. There is an intellectual faith that a man can have up here but not have down here. Somebody said, preacher, that's an impossibility. Oh, no, that's not an impossibility. May I just briefly tell you about the story of Cain and Abel? The Bible said that Cain brought the works of his own hands. He brought the fruit of the land as an offering before God. And God rejected that.
Amen.
But Abel brought that little sheep as God had appointed him to, showing faith in what God had done. And hey, in the heart, faith in the heart. And God respected the offering that that Abel made. But he had no respect at all for the offering that Cain had made. You know why? Cain had an intellectual faith in God. He knew about God. He realized there had to be a sacrifice. He realized there had to be an offering, but it was from here up and not from here down. He had it in the mind and the brain, but he never had anything in the heart. Now, I wonder how many people today claim that they have faith, but it's an intellectual faith. They know about God. Oh, they know all about Him being born in a manger. They know about His dying on the cross. They know that He got up out of the grave. They know that He's coming again, but it's all in the mind and it has never sunk down deep into their heart where they might be saved. I believe it was Christ Himself said, let these words sink deep down into your ears, even into your heart.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's got to get into the heart.
Amen.
Well, salvation is a heartfelt experience. Faith,
amen,
is something that can be experienced and felt in the heart of a man. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just in the mind.
Right.
It's not in the mind. There's a lady that listens. She may be listening now. God bless her heart. And I love her. I'm not being critical, Brother Joel. But she'll write in here all the time. And she'll say, to Brother Gray and myself both. Letters to both of them. And she'll say things like, you can't be negative all the time. You've got to be more positive. You've got to be positive. Well, Norman Vincent Peale can be positive. But he can be positively wrong. And I do not believe in positive thinking. I believe in faith. Positive thinking is intellectual, but faith is in the heart of man.
Yes.
Not from the mind of man, but from the heart of man.
Amen.
It's one thing to understand God with a brain. It's another thing to understand God with a heart. It is a heart that makes us fall in love with Him that loved us and gave Himself for us that we might be delivered from this present evil world that we're living in. That's His wonderful name. Thank God. Faith. Boy, if you've got tonight, you ought to rejoice. Not all men have it, but they that have it because of grace. And it's not something you work for. It, and by the way, I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. It doesn't say it is a gift of God. The gift of God. Therefore, everything else springs from that faith that God has given to each one of us. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Thank God. And I'm glad to just live by faith. Amen. Now, there's an intellectual faith. May I say there's a historical faith? Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, I won't read the verse. I could quote it, but I think it would be much better if I just turned over to 1 Peter and read it to you out of 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'll read that very quickly. And verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, I'm going to tell you, there is a historical faith, and it comes from the tradition of the fathers. Israel like they never, in fact, some of them never did, break away from that old historical faith that you had to keep the law in order to be saved. And Peter is flatly telling them, you're not saved by the tradition of your fathers. They're living by tradition that's been handed down to them through the ages. And at that time it was wonderful because it pointed to the Lamb of God. But those things are put away. Christ having died once on the cross and died once for every man on Calvary. That's all it took. Hey, He was not a Lamb. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And when Christ died on the cross, there was no more need for lambs. And we're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold by the precious blood of the Son of God. You'd be surprised if the people hold your tradition. I'm talking about just, or some of them would come to my mind. I mean, I've heard men say, if you didn't get saved exactly like I got saved, you didn't get saved. I may have said that before myself. But you know something, there's only one thing wrong with that. It's wrong. Now, there's only one way to be saved, and that's by grace through faith. But what they're saying is, if you didn't do exactly what I've done, and do it exactly the way that I did it, then you didn't get in. Well, I got news for you. There's only one thing wrong with that. It's wrong.
Amen.
Some men will tell you to pray through. Others will tell you to hold on. Some will tell you to endure. Endure to the end, and the same shall be saved. Hallelujah to God. I'm just telling you that there's so much today that is done by tradition rather than being done by faith in the risen work of the Son of God. A whole lot of tradition. I mean, hey, do you know that, you know, one of the biggest traditions we've got in religion today? Wednesday night church service. I'll be honest with you. There's only one place in the Bible I ever found a meeting on Sunday morning. That was when Christ was resurrected. Now, in John chapter number 19, I believe it is, we find a meeting in the evening in the upper room. But I'm telling you, a lot that we do in our church services is tradition. Oh, we've got to sing three songs. We've got to have a special. We've got to take up an offering. And don't let anything, you've got to have testimony. And don't let anything get out of that. I'm telling you, it's all a bunch of tradition, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it is. Now I'm telling you, if we don't get away from tradition and get back to living by faith in the Son of God, we're never going to see revival. We're never going to see our loved ones saved. Tradition ain't going to get the job done. And I don't mean to be, we do this too. We do it with Brother Blue. But I've heard preachers say, yeah, I have old Brother so-and-so up every year. It's just a tradition with us. Well, I wonder if it's God's will.
Right.
I wonder if God really wants them up every year. You'd be surprised at the preachers that say book the same week, every year, year in and year out in the same place. And I'm wondering if it's tradition or if it's really the will of God for that to go on. I don't know whether it is or not. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Help old Brother Hell out a little bit. Tradition. We live a whole lot by traditions rather than living by faith in the Son of God. We come to church and we've got to start on a certain time when the little white light comes on. And, of course, you know you're not going to get out the same time all the time. But we're supposed to start at the same time. Most churches, they do. They got to start on time. They got to quit on time. They got to start at 11 o'clock. They got to quit at 12 o'clock. I mean, they got to be Johnny on the spot. And the preacher knows if he don't do it that way, the deacons will run him off. They'll fire him. Well, you can't fire me. You didn't hire me. I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you another reason you can't fire me. I'm self-employed. I'm my boss. But I am responsible to you. And I am responsible to you. But I'm going to tell you, you're responsible to me also. I don't know how I got off on all that, but anyway, how? Now, there's varieties of faith. There's intellectual faith. There's historical faith. But I want to thank God there's a saving faith. Amen to God. There is a saving faith. You better believe there is. Oh, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Oh, thank God. I'm glad when heaven come down that morning and glory filled my soul, I wasn't saved by tradition. I wasn't saved by intellect. I was saved by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, as He revealed to me my heart was wicked and vile and ungodly and without hope. Amen. And that morning He birthed me into the family of God. I want you to listen to something. Listen to something very carefully. Arthur Pink made this statement. Don't hold me. Don't hold that against me. Arthur Pink said, "No one can become a Christian while he entertains any doubt upon the divine inspiration and authority of the Scriptures." Now here's the one I want to get to. We all agree with that. "Or while he refuses to bow to the verdict God has pronounced upon him." You know what the verdict God's pronounced upon him, upon us? There's not a one of us that's good, no, not one. Amen. Every one of us are deserving of hell. And I'm going to tell you, friend, until you've seen yourself in deserving of hell, I don't know whether you can get saved or not. That's called old time conviction, and we don't have much of it anymore. Praise God, I'm telling you, we can't even get enough conviction in the church to get Felix to tremble, much less tremble enough to get born again. We can't get enough conviction in the church to get Herod to get saved. Now, when he saw John the Baptist, he done many things. He don't say what, but he never did get saved. He heard the Baptist preach, and he never got saved. It wasn't enough conviction to get the job done. May God help us. Oh, yes, if there's anything we need in church today, it's a convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. It takes conviction to change lives. You better believe. I'm telling you the fact about it. It takes conviction to change and save and change the lives of people. And we don't have much of it. I won't say also that saving faith not only trusts in Christ, but it follows Him. Those disciples in the early days when Jesus walked by Peter and John, He simply said, "Follow me." Amen. And they dropped their nets and their father and went off to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of people want to have faith, but they don't want to follow Christ in that faith. They're afraid of where it might lead them or what it might lead them to. I may have to give up something. I may have to throw that one-eyed devil out of my house if I get right with God. Amen. Amen. I may have to quit watching DVDs if I got born again. I won't charge none for that. I'd have to quit playing golf or something like that. I don't know. I may have to quit bow hunting. I don't know. I just want to throw myself in there. I didn't want y'all to think I'm picking on nobody. I want to throw myself in there a little bit. All right, listen. Hey, I'm simply saying that it follows God. I wonder if there's people in here tonight that you'd be willing, now that you're saved, And if you're qualified, would you follow God to the ends of the earth? Do you have enough faith that you would do like David Livingstone did, drop everything that you've got and go off to Africa to be a pioneer missionary? And they said when they found David Livingstone dead, he was on his knees at his little cot in prayer to God when they found him, finally found him dead. And he went to Africa. He stayed in Africa. And he died in Africa. And they buried his bones in Africa. And these guys going out today, oh yeah, I'm called of God. And I'm going to follow God here and I'm going to follow God there. And most of them follow him for about 15, maybe 3 or 4 years, and that's about it. Miss Hall never remembered this family. But it was a young boy and girl at Brother Calvert's. Her name was Lise or something, L-I-E-S-E. They were going to Indonesia or somewhere like that. And I kept looking at that couple. And the Holy Ghost said, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Well, we kept getting letters from them, here. Holy Ghost said, just leave them alone. Do you believe I got a letter from them, a missionary letter from them this week and from their mission board? And I'm going to tell you what church they're out of. They're out of the same one that Brother Bill Williams is out of, and Brother Jonathan Williams. I got a letter from that mission board that said the Lee's family have thought it God's will to come in off the field. Well, they hadn't been on the field 2 or 3 years. And it's God's will to come in off the field? You mean to tell me they're going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars of God's money and take money from churches running all over the country and raising support and go somewhere for a year, 2 or 3 years? I don't believe that. Amen. I don't believe they're following God when they do that. Real faith follows Christ. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Peter may have followed him afar off. Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. He followed him anyhow. When Christ died on the cross, old John the Beloved was right there. He followed him all the way to his father's boat, fishing boat, all up and down the shores of Galilee, all across Israel preaching the gospel of Christ. And when they all come down to the end, he was standing at the cross. Yea, went beyond that. He went to the tomb that he came out of. Oh no, he went beyond that. He was at in the upper room when Christ showed up in that upper room. But I can take you one further than that. For a testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, he was put out on the island of Patmos. And boiled in a pot of boiling oil. And it never killed him. And why was he there? For a testimony of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying saving faith not only saves a man from sin, but he will follow God wherever he leads him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. You may not be having fun, but I'm starting to have a little bit of fun out of all this.
Amen.
Now, saving faith not only trusts Christ, but it follows Him. And it not only believes in God's promises, but it obeys His precepts.
Amen.
There's a lot of people who want to believe God's promises. We stand up and quote them. Used to have an individual here, and every time I'd ask somebody to stand up and quote their favorite verse, that's the first verse that's asked. That's the only verse they ever quoted. I'm not going to tell you who it was or what it was. Only verse they ever quoted. But learn later on when it come to obeying them precepts, they didn't want to obey them too much. May I say to you now, are you listening to me, that obedience is a rubber test for our faith. If we're obedient to that book and obedient to the precepts of that book, I'm not saying walking perfect. I'm not saying being sinlessly perfect. But I'm talking about obeying the precepts of that book. We know what's right and we know what's wrong, and if we do right, we're obeying the precepts of that book.
Amen.
We not only believe in the promises, but we hold them. We believe. We obey those precepts as well. That is the Word of God.
Amen.
God have mercy on people who say that I've been saved by the grace of God. I've had people tell me they've been saved for years, then ask me, "Do Christians really need to tithe?" I didn't even have to be told to tithe.
Amen.
I've had them tell me, do I need to get a haircut? I didn't even have to be told to get a haircut. My wife didn't have to be told to put on the right kind of apparel. She just started wearing a dress.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost on the inside will tell you a few things. My wife, hey, nobody had to tell her to start letting her hair grow out. She just let her grow out.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? Just simply believe in that book.
Amen.
Just simply believe in what that Bible has got to say. Amen. And the precepts of that book. Now, saving faith is a fruitful thing also. Always abounding in good works. Notice what our dear brother James here said in James chapter number 2. And verse 18, he said, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." So what he's saying, Brother Holmes, saying faith is a fruitful thing. Always abounding in fruit. That's right. And I'm going to tell you something. We can brag about having faith all we want to. But friend, I'm going to tell you, you can tell me you have faith, but back it up by the works that you do.
Amen.
And we're not saved by works, but I'm telling you we work because we are saved.
Yes.
I'm telling you they go hand in hand. And I can see how folks, how Armenians can get off on that, believe in works for salvation. I can see basically how they do that. They just misconstrue the Scriptures a little bit and wind up in a sinkhole. A man could read that wrong, in verses wrong, and come up with a wrong interpretation of them. But if you read them right, you can't. You can't. He said, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Amen. In other words, I've got a little bit of fruit in my life. And praise God, not crab apples either. I drove down our driveway the other day. Mr. Brown was out over there. He stopped me and said, I got out of the truck. I said, "How are you, Mr. Brown?" I said, "I'm doing." I said, "You must be Mr. Hall." And I shook his hand. I said, "Yeah, my wife says she sees you up here sometimes when they're up here." Well, he said, "Yeah, we walk sometimes and I see your wife up here." He said, "That little maple tree down there." He said, "That on my line or yours? That on my property or yours?" I said, "Well, really?" I said, "It's on your property." He said, "I just want to make sure you didn't mind from me trimming it." I said, "What's on your property?" "I don't mind it at all. I wouldn't mind if it's on mine." He said, "This oak tree here, whose property is it on?" I said, "It's on yours." He said, "Well, but there's some limbs hanging out over yours." I said, "And I trimmed them." I said, "That's all right. I don't bother me. I'm certainly glad that you trimmed those trees." And we went on to talk for a little while about some other things. And he said, "See that old tree was standing right there?" And he said, "I wouldn't be," said, "That's an old crabapple tree." And he said, "I'm telling you, that thing had thorns on it that long. And I didn't know it. Said, some of them bit me." And I said, "Mr. Brown," I said, "when we moved here, my whole driveway up on the hill was full of them." I said, "Them guys used to mow up there, and every time they'd mow, somebody would get stuck by one of them." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Them old crab apple trees. Miss Hall asked me the other day, she said, "What's them old green things laying on the ground, old knobby, ugly looking thing?" I said, "That is the fruit of a crab apple tree." And I'm, and the fruit, hey, the fruit's worthless. It's got fruit on it. But it ain't no good. And they're growing on a thorn bush. Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying a Christian don't have thorns. And they don't have bad fruit. They have love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. That's right. We're fruit bearers, folks. You got faith. And it'll be abounding. Abounding. I'm going to say that again. You won't have to get a magnifying glass out to find it. That's right. James said, "You show me your faith by your word. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Now, you listen to what I'm saying? Hey, faith enables its possessor to endure trials, to resist the devil and to overcome the world. Faith to endure trials. We talk about being in trials today. I wonder if we know really what trials are. But it was faith that kept those Hebrew children in that furnace of fire. It was faith that let Daniel go down into the den of lions without fear. It was faith that let Paul preach when he knew he was bound for the Philippian jail. It was faith When God said, Paul, you've testified about me in Jerusalem, you're going to Rome also. And I'm going to tell you, when the time come up, there was a question of Paul, and they wanted to hang his carcass right in Jerusalem. Paul said, hey, I appeal unto Caesar. God said, I told you he was going. And guess what? He went to Caesar's palace.
Amen.
Faith got him there.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? Amen. It'll endure trials. All the trials he faced on the way. What about that trial on that ship that began to sink out in that Euryclidon? Not go on. Paul was in prison. Paul was beaten with stripes. I mean, you name it. Paul was in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of robbers, in perils in the sea, in perils in the wilderness. He was in perils everywhere. He was let down in a basket.
Amen.
He was let down in a basket in Damascus. They had guards on every gate, but he was let down in a basket. You know why? He just took faith in God. He said, well, maybe if I go down in that basket, God will protect me. And down in it he went. And God protected him. You see, our problem is with faith, we're not willing to step out on faith and trust God. We're afraid. Wonder how strong that chair is. I don't know. I know I'm living for God, but I don't know. I don't know if he can quite hold me up. Looks pretty weak to me. Probably manufactured in China. Don't look too good to me. Now that's a doubter. That's an intellectual faith. That's a traditional faith. You know what's saving faith? You know what man was saving faith? God. God said, send the chair!
Yes, sir, amen.
That's what it holds. If God tells you to set in, it'll hold.
Amen.
If God tells you to jump in a fire, it won't burn. If God tells you to go across the water, you'll never drown. If God tells you to head out across the desert, He'll give you a built-in compass. Praise God, it'll lead you all the way.
Amen.
You ought to have heard that man's story up there tonight.
Yes, sir.
317 men rescued out of the USS Indianapolis, out in that salty water. And he talked about sharks attacking them, about men drinking that salt water and getting so deluded, their mind in such a delusion over it. They thought they saw islands, and they thought they saw food, and they thought people having picnics, and they started to swim to them, and the sharks would eat them and get them out there, and on and on and on they went. I'm talking about just a simply and absolutely a marvelous story that he talked about. But at the end, he talked about how the grace of God had made him through it. That man spent 4.5 days in salt water. One rain cloud came over, and they opened up their mouth, and they caught as many drops as they could out of one little rain cloud. Are you listening to me? Some of them fellows said, we'll just sift the sand out of it. They took their clothes and put water in it and supposedly let all the sand hold it up and drank the water, hoping their clothes would sift that sand out, or the salt out of it. But it didn't work. Their tongues began to dry and cleave to the roof of their mouth. And the more they drank, the more they got dehydrated. The more they got dehydrated, the worse they got. And now, I can't say enough, but I'd like to say more, but I'm going to have to stop on it. But what I'm getting ready to say is, that man spent 4.5 days out in the Pacific Ocean without food and drink, nothing but a couple of rotten potatoes is all that he found. A couple of rotten potatoes is all that he had to eat, and had nothing to drink but a few drops of water from the sky. But you know what? Hey, you know what kept him going? Said he'd been saved when he went over, and God told him, said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, it's going to be all right. Said, when he was hanging on to that rail and she was going down, said, it's going to be all right. Now, I'm telling you, that took a little bit of faith. But I'm going to tell you something else. It took something that Baptists don't have today. It took something Baptists don't have. And it's a little word called F-I-G-H-T, five-wheeled heaven. Now, I'm telling you, faith will give us a little fight in our soul. I'm going to tell you, you start being encircled by hundreds of sharks attacking you, and you're fighting them off and trying to pedal dog, pedal water, and your life jacket's full of water, and you're sinking. You get, it's just a, whoo. Makes cold chills run up and down my spine. To know how God took care of those men, and we ain't got enough faith to believe that God will take care of us in those trials.
Amen.
If God took care of mostly lost men, don't you think God would take care of us? We walk through those trials. I don't know anybody here spent 4.5 days out in the ocean. But he's talking about, he said, I don't know anybody here if their tongues ever got thick from being thirsty. I didn't say nothing. I didn't raise my hand, but I said in my heart, Lord, I know one guy did. I laid there in that cubby hole, foxhole in Vietnam, and tried to go to sleep and got drinking, thinking about water, about a drop, and about a thimble full and a glass full, and a creek full, and a well full, and a creek full. Then it got down to a river full, and then it got wanting a whole ocean of water. I'm telling you, I was thirsty. I was thirsty. My tongue was swollen. Brother Hall wanted water, but there was no water to drink. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, hey, but God provided. Well, who wouldn't believe in the providence of God? Boy, I do. Had it not been for God's providence, I'd be in hell tonight. But by the providence of God, He gave me water to drink. Now the providence of God, He protected me through it all. By the providence of God, He brought me home. And I won't say thank God. I'm glad by the providence of God that I'm here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You better believe it. But it takes a little bit of fight and grit and you crawl.
Amen.
Get through some things like that. Most Baptists ain't got enough faith.
Amen.
They just draw. Hey, if you give up in times of adversity, your faith is small. I believe something Brother Joel said that in Sunday school this morning. If when adversity comes and your faith gives way, you ain't got much faith. That's testing time. Now I'm going to say 3 or 4 things and I'll be done. I'm going to say there's some enemies of faith. Circumstances can become an enemy of faith. The Israel come to the Kadesh Barnea, sent out spies for 40 days, sent out 12 of them. 2 of them come back and said, let's go get her. 10 of them come back and said, oh, there's giants over there and we're grasshoppers in their sight. And I'm going to say one thing he forgot. They might have been grasshoppers in their sight. They weren't grasshoppers in God's sight.
Yeah.
Amen! We forget we're serving God. Now I'm telling you, the circumstances became an enemy of faith. They could have possessed the land 40 years before they did.
Amen.
But the circumstances they fell under caused them to turn back. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness.
Amen.
Circumstances. I won't say that fear... Fear is a real enemy of faith. In Matthew chapter number 8, our Lord there is in a ship. And there arose a great tempest in the sea. And here's what the disciples said. The Lord was asleep and they said, Lord, save us, we perish. And He arose and rebuked the winds and the waves. And He said, O ye of little faith, why art thou fearful? O ye of little faith. You know why we can't go anywhere with God today? We're afraid to trust God for something. We're afraid to put ourselves out on the proverbial limb. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. Hey, come on now. If we can trust Him with our own soul and life, why can't we trust Him for the ministry? Why can't we trust Him to accomplish greater things than we ever have before?
Amen.
I want to say it's time that we lengthened the cord, straightened the stake, and went out and served God.
Amen.
Better believe it. I mean, you young people in here, I told you about it, you'll glance and blow. All you want to do is sit on them stupid telephones and send text messages. Or watch Facebook. Or send text messages. Or sit on the telephone. That's all you got. And I'm wondering what you're saying when you're on that telephone. You know what? I run into Brother Larry Parker up there at the thing today. He goes down to Brother Gish's. And we were standing there talking. This black man walked up to me. Had a calf patch on his head. I said, Jerry Owen, sir. He said, Jerry Owen. He said, what outfit was you in? I said, 2nd of the 7th. He said, that's the same outfit I was in, the 2nd of the 7th. He said, when was you over? I said, 65 and 66. He said, man, that's the same time I was over there. 65 and 66. He said, you know something? I remember you now. He said, I remember you. He said, we was up there to the Walmart that day and you was up there passing out tracts. And said, you give me that little tract that if you died tonight, you know you go to heaven. Said, you know what I was doing up there? Said, I was passing out Oliver B. Green tracts. And said, isn't it something there? You're handing out tracts. I'm handing out tracts. And we meet together there. And here we are again, meeting together again. And both in the same unit in Vietnam at the same time. Black man. We left. He said, God bless you, brother. Welcome home. I said, God bless you and welcome home to me, brother. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful experience. But can you imagine? There we both are, trying to serve God just a little bit.
Right.
Huh? Then God brings our path, crosses our path one more time in this life.
Amen.
Boy, we serve a gracious God, don't we?
Amen.
You better believe we do. But they were fearful. Now I'm going to tell you, some people are afraid to hand a tract. Can I give you one of these? No! Now, I've heard preachers say, what good are they going to do? Well, I don't know, but what harm are they going to do? Can we not do anything for God? Can we not trust God for something? I want to say this, you can like it or not. We have got one of the greatest ministries in this part of this country.
Amen.
We have got one of the best outreaches of any church in this part of the country.
Yep.
I'm telling you, we better use it to the fullest. And this church is going to have to get behind it more than just cooking food and sweeping floors.
Amen.
We're going to have to get behind it on our knees.
Amen.
And crawl our way to the throne.
Yep.
And there, plead our case before God and let God give us mercy and grace to help us in this time of need.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I think. Now, y'all know me. I'm not much. I'm believing a man can read a tract and get saved. I believe a man got here preaching. But you never know. They pick up that tract and they say, Allen Ford Baptist Church. I'm out this visit there next Sunday. You never can tell. I've had black people ask me before, what would you do if I come to your church? I said, preach to you. Buddy, I ain't calling none of them. They all need the gospel. The rich and the poor and the black and the white and the red and the yellow, they all need the gospel. When Christ said to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, he wasn't just talking about particular color. He said all the world. And preach it to every creature.
Amen.
Have we not failed in that? And there's only one reason for it. There's only one explanation. Lack of faith. Before the communists took over in China, they had several Southern Baptist preachers over there. Old doctor. Oh, man. He wrote a book on the Shantung Revival. Culpepper. He taught my pastor at seminary in Dallas, Texas, at the seminary there. And he was there in China. He witnessed some reviving. And he wrote home and asked the Southern Baptist Mission Board, said, to send missionaries. The gospel is being preached and they're receiving it. Send missionaries. We can stop this communist takeover. And you know what they said? They wrote back and said, the country's not worth it. The country's not worth it. You know what that says in my language? We're not interested in them people. I can care less if they die and go to hell. Oh, but I wonder how many of us tonight are toying with our faith. We could be doing great things like the Lord. I mean, simply just minding God, following God, walking by faith, living by faith, and see greater things done than what we're seeing done. So I said, oh, it's the last days and we're in the gleaning and God's not doing anything. Hey, God will do what we all want Him to do. He didn't say, call on me and I'll answer thee up into the last days. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. That's right. We can't even get our family saved. Some of you ain't even enough interested to pray for your own family. Some of you not, because I can tell how your children act. Don't take a blind man or a wise man to see that. A blind man to see it. They sit and spit and whittle while they're in church. Write. Talk. Giggle. Laugh. Pay no attention.
Amen.
Act like you're a... And the look on some of them's face, they act like, boy, I'll be living this no way. Old man up there screaming and hollering at me. I mean, I'm going to go out and have some fun. Have all the fun you want, friend. I got saved one day and got filled with joy.
Amen.
You can have fun, I'll take joy.
Amen.
Amen. Fun ain't even in the Bible.
Amen.
Joy is.
Amen.
Gladness is.
Yes, sir.
Cheer is.
Amen.
That's right. Jesus said, be in good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Amen.
Amen. He did. What if he had said, have mully grubs all your life. I overcome it, but you can't. He didn't even say we had to. He said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer while you're in the world. But be of good cheer for what? Because I've overcome the world.
Amen.
What I've overcome, I've done it for you. Hallelujah. Everybody here won't get saved right quick. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, are you fearful? Why are you so fearful? And fear put a damper on their faith. May I say also that feelings.
Right.
Feelings can put a damper on your faith. The just don't live with feelings. There'd be a lot of times if I lived by feelings when I got up in one of the marathons like this last one we had, I'd have waved over my shoulder and said, adios, Cisco. Poncho, we'll see you down the road. But I don't go by feelings. I go by faith. When you get home tonight, read Jeremiah 33, the whole chapter. That's what God promised me when I came here. I preached it on a Saturday night in that room right up there on a marathon up on Princeton Pike. Oh, yeah. You know what it says? He's talking about Jerusalem. And people were telling Jeremiah, there'll be no more mirth in Jerusalem. There'll be no joy in Jerusalem. There'll be no more happiness in Jerusalem. The voice of the bride, the voice of the bridegroom, they're silent in Jerusalem. Do you know what God told him? He said, there shall yet be the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom. And a voice of them that says, praise the Lord of hosts! But he went further than that and he said, as it was at the first, so shall it be again. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, it ain't Dixie that's going to rise. It's Jerusalem that's going to rise again.
Amen,
Jerusalem's going to rise again. As it was at the first, so shall it be again. I believe what God was telling me. He's going to put the power back in this place.
Yeah.
We might not be on Princeton Pike. We're going to pay the light bill. We probably have to pray the devils out of the places to have a service in there. Amen.
Amen.
And two of them bikers up there today went to school down there. When I had school. Down on Princeton Pike. I don't know how I got off on all that. I guess I had to have something to say. Them feelings. Then there's some evidences of faith and I'm done. Believe in God's Word.
Amen.
Believe in God's Word. Do you know that centurion back in Matthew 8 again? It was a centurion servant. If my memory serves me correctly. That centurion servant, Jesus was in Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion himself and beseeched him, saying, Lord, said, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him.
Amen.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should should have come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this, go, and to this one, and he goeth, and another come, and he cometh. Does this servant do this, and he doeth this? When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith in Israel.
Yeah.
There was a man that said, Jesus said, I'll come down to your house and heal that man. He said, you don't have to. I've got enough faith to believe that God's got power over distance. Do you believe that tonight? Can I say this? And I don't say this by way of embarrassment. I don't mean it. I hope I'm not going to embarrass nobody. But I understand your nephew went back. Do you think that God doesn't have power over the distance between you and Him? Do you think God can't answer prayers up there and bring them to pass out there? Sure He can. God's got power over defilement, over sin. God's got power over distance. There's no such thing as distance with God because He's everywhere all the time.
Amen.
Just keep praying.
Amen.
Might be like that little boy Mae Jackson talked about. Mae said, I'm in trouble now. But on the fifth night, big brother come walking in.
Amen.
What about that? That still thrills my soul.
Yes.
Know what old Mays, hey, that's called faith. Mays put himself out on a limb a little bit. Now, he quoted Scripture. He had the book. And he had the promise. But he put himself out on a limb to believe God for that promise. And that little boy was just young enough to believe that God would do it. And guess what? It wasn't Mays' faith that done that. It was that little boy's. That brought his brother, his big brother, into that church that night, and he got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'd like to have been there, Brother Troy. I was telling you, I'd have run if it had broke both legs.
Amen.
If it had broke both legs, Joel Gray would have picked me up, bless God, and carried me the rest
Amen.
Of the way. And then carried me to the hospital to have him set.
Right.
Amen. I'd have brought the pen up there to pray for me. Hallelujah. Brought Brother Steve up there and let him pray for me. Amen. Oh, God, heal Brother Hall's legs. Oh, he can run again. Woo-hoo. Hey, I'm about to have a spell, Brother Foley. Faith!
Man.
Faith! It's wonderful!
Yeah.
Let us believe God. And I'm just telling you, there are some evidences of faith, and one of them is just believing God.
Amen.
That old centurion just believed God. And then just recognizing the sovereignty of God. Man, that man I've heard today 4 or 5 times talked about the sovereignty of God, and I'm sitting there saying, what? Now, I have to say, he said a word that wasn't in the King James. But maybe he just said, I don't know. He may have just said that. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you, he had a real testimony. Are you listening to me? He mentioned the sovereignty of God a number of times. And you'd be surprised at the independent Baptist that you can get in their pulpit and say, well, brethren, thank God for God's sovereignty. He's in control. That's almost a cuss word in most Baptist churches. If He wasn't the only wise potentate, I'd quit preaching tonight. But God is a sovereign God. Now, I didn't say He overlords people and just drags people and just going to drag folks and make them, force them to get saved. I didn't say that. I said He's a sovereign God. And He can, now listen to me carefully. He can be a sovereign God because He knew what was going to happen here, back here. And He knew what was going to happen to everything in between as well. So everything that He prophesied come to pass because He already knew it. That's called foreknowledge. See, there's nothing that God never knew.
Amen.
He knew what was going to happen before He ever created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Where did God live before He created the heavens and the earth? Come on, answer it. All you scholars out there. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, and He created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
We talk about going to see God in heaven. Where was He at before the heavens were created? And it doesn't say heaven, it says heavens.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
Somebody said, well, he's living up there in that black hole. That's a heaven. But I'm going to tell you, when there was nowhere for him to come from, he stepped out on nothing. He stepped out on something when there was nothing to step out on. And spoke, and at the utterance of his voice, things began to transpire that had never happened before. The earth began to take shape, that it was void and without form. Begin to bring up the plants. And by the way, I'm not going to take time to do this, but I believe I can show you in the Bible where it says that he planted the trees in the garden. He planted them, the trees. Get a hold of that. Planted the trees. That tells me the trees were already grown. He just brought them from somewhere and planted them there. Yes. Hallelujah to God. What a God! What a God! That's got trees growing out here somewhere, some time ago, but they knew, had to plant them on the earth one day. Tell me he ain't sovereign. He said, let there be light. And it's not talking about his light. Not talking about the sun, rather. Let there be light, and there was light, and that light was him. That light was him, friend. And he created the sun and the moon and the stars. And the animals, and then he created poor old man. His crowning creation. Just took the dust of the earth and kind of formed it up in his hand and just... The Bible said, man become a living soul.
Amen.
What's he laughing about? Same thing you are. All I said, boy, don't go to sleep on me. Oh, he's already gone. He's glassy-eyed. Simply believe in God, recognizing the sovereignty of the Lord, then realizing God's ability to perform things according to the good pleasure of His will. That's Ephesians 1:11. See, that's where our faith gets in a bind. We think that our faith, listen to me carefully, we think that our faith causes God to do what we want done. R-W-R-O, I started to say R-O-N-G, you can tell where I went to university, Underwood. W-R-O-N-G. Wrong. But faith gets our heart in line with God. That God can do with us what His will is for our life. That's right. Now that's living by faith. Isn't living by faith trusting God? It's not God trusting us. It's not God saying, I want you to do this, and then God trusting us to do that. It's God. It's us trusting God to do that. And He will. Good faith. Nothing like it. I'm glad I got it.
Amen.
May not have the full measure a lot of fellows has got. Praise God, I had enough to get me in.
Amen.
And I run this by you. Some of you in here have heard me say this. But you realize it took less faith to be saved than anything else in your life. It took less faith for Israel to get in them houses and kill that sacrifice than it did for them to cross that sea than it did for them to cross Jordan. Because when they come to the sea, Moses just stretched that rod out over the sea and it just parted.
Amen.
But when they got to the Jordan to go into Canaan land, God said, let the priests put their feet in the water.
Amen.
Son, they didn't stand on a dry bank. They had to step out into the water, friend, and it was, hey, overflowing in its season.
Amen.
And they stepped out in that water, and when they did, by faith, whoop, read the Bible, the Jordan River stood up like a heap, friend.
Amen.
The waters were cut off. And I don't know how high that water raised, but I can imagine it might have raised miles and miles in the air. I don't know how deep Jordan was. The water that was here just run on downstream. And the brook went dry. And they marched across also on dry land.
Amen.
See, at Jordan, they didn't have to put their... I mean, at Red Sea, they didn't have to put their feet out in that water. It just parted. But when they come to Jordan, God said, get your feet out in the water. You're going to have to show me you got a little faith. And then they stepped out in the water, and the water said...
Amen.
When they heard the sounds of that ram's horn, they began to march. You know they stopped and put 12 stones in the middle of that river? 12 stones. Jesus said they're there yet today. I believe they are. Woo! I don't know anybody that's ever found them, but I believe they're there as He said it was. I got to quit. Praise God. It's way past my quitting time. Lord have mercy. Why didn't y'all flag me down? You know I'm a fool. When I get started, I can't quit. Faith. Good faith. Saving faith. Living faith. I'm glad I've got her tonight. I hope you have. Let's stand together.